Chapter 42. Having done all this, I left them the next day, and went on board the ship. We prepared immediately to sail, but did not wait at night. The next morning early, two of the five men came swimming to the ship's side, and making the most lamentable complaint of the other three, begged to be taken into the ship for God's sake, for they should be murdered, and begged the captain to take them on board, though he hanged them immediately. Upon this the captain pretended to have no power without me, but after some difficulty, and after their solemn promises of amendment, they were taken on board, and were, some time after, soundly whipped and pickled, after which they proved very honest and quiet fellows. Some time after this, the boat was ordered on shore, the tide being up, with the things promised to the men, to which the captain, at my intercession, caused their chests and clothes to be added, which they took, and were very thankful for. I also encouraged them, by telling them that, if it lay in my power, to send any vessel to take them in, I would not forget them. When I took leave of this island, I carried on board, for relics, the great goatskin cap I had made, my umbrella, and one of my parrots. Also, I forgot not to take the money I formerly mentioned, which had lain by me so long useless, that it was grown rusty or tarnished, and could hardly pass for silver till it had been a little rubbed and handled, as also the money I found in the wreck of the Spanish ship. And thus I left the island, the 19th of December, as I found by the ship's account, in the year 1686, after I had been upon it 28 years, 2 months, and 19 days, being delivered from this second captivity the same day of the month that I first made my escape in the longboat from among the Moors of Sali. In this vessel, after a long voyage, I arrived in England the 11th of June, in the year 1687, having been 35 years absent. When I came to England I was as perfect a stranger to all the world, as if I had never been known there. My benefactor and faithful steward, whom I had left my money in trust with, was alive, but had had great misfortunes in the world, was become a widow the second time, and very low in the world. I made her very easy, as to what she owed me, assuring her I would give her no trouble, but, on the contrary, in gratitude for her former care and faithfulness to me, I relieved her as my little stock would afford, which at that time would, indeed, allow me to do but little for her. But I assured her I would never forget her former kindness to me, nor did I forget her when I had sufficient to help her, as shall be observed in its proper place. I went down afterwards into Yorkshire, but my father was dead, and my mother and all the family extinct, except that I found two sisters, and two of the children of one of my brothers. And as I had been long ago given over for dead, there had been no provision made for me. So that, in a word, I found nothing to relieve or assist me, and that the little money I had would not do much for me as to settling in the world. I met with one piece of gratitude indeed, which I did not expect, and this was, that the master of the ship, whom I had so happily delivered, and by the same means saved the ship and cargo, having given a very handsome account to the owners of the manner how I had saved the lives of the men and the ship, they invited me to meet them, and some other merchants concerned, and altogether made me a very handsome compliment upon the subject, and a present of almost £200. But after making several reflections upon the circumstances of my life, and how little way this would go towards settling me in the world, I resolved to go to Lisbon, and see if I might not come at some information of the state of my plantation in the Brazils, and of what was become of my partner, who, I had reason to suppose, had some years past given me over for dead. With this view I took shipping for Lisbon, where I arrived in April following, my man Friday accompanying me very honestly in all these ramblings, and proving a most faithful servant upon all occasions. When I came to Lisbon, I found out, by inquiry, and to my particular satisfaction, my old friend, the captain of the ship who first took me up at sea off the shore of Africa. He was now grown old, and had left off going to sea, having put his son, who was far from a young man, into his ship, and who still used the Brazil trade. The old man did not know me, and indeed I hardly knew him. But I soon brought him to my remembrance, and as soon brought myself to his remembrance, when I told him who I was. After some passionate expressions of the old acquaintance between us, I inquired, "You may be sure, after my plantation and my partner." The old man told me he had not been in the Brazils for about 9 years, but that he could assure me that, when he came away my partner was living, but the trustees whom I had joined with him to take cognizance of my part were both dead. That, however, he believed I would have a very good account of the improvement of the plantation, for that, upon the general belief of my being cast away and drowned, my trustees had given in the account of the produce of my part of the plantation to the procurator fiscal, who had appropriated it, in case I never came to claim it, 1/3 to the king, and 2/3 to the monastery of St. Augustine, to be expended for the benefit of the poor, and for the conversion of the Indians to the Catholic faith. But that, if I appeared, or anyone for me, to claim the inheritance, it would be restored, only that the improvement, or annual production, being distributed to charitable uses, could not be restored. But he assured me, that the steward of the king's revenue from lands, and the provider, or steward of the monastery, had taken great care all along that the incumbent, that is to say my partner, gave every year a faithful account of the produce, of which they had duly received my moiety. I asked him, if he knew to what height of improvement he had brought the plantation, and whether he thought it might be worth looking after, or whether, on my going thither, I should meet with any obstruction to my possessing my just right in the moiety. He told me he could not tell exactly to what degree the plantation was improved, but this he knew, that my partner was grown exceeding rich upon the enjoying his part of it, and that, to the best of his remembrance, he had heard, that the king's third of my part, which was, it seems, granted away to some other monastery or religious house, amounted to above 200 moitres a year. That as to my being restored to a quiet possession of it, there was no question to be made of that, my partner being alive to witness my title, and my name being also enrolled in the register of the country. Also he told me, that the survivors of my two trustees were very fair honest people, and very wealthy, and he believed I would not only have their assistance for putting me in possession, but would find a very considerable sum of money in their hands for my account, being the produce of the farm, while their fathers held the trust, and before it was given up, as above, which, as he remembered, was for about 12 years. I showed myself a little concerned and uneasy at this account, and inquired of the old captain, how it came to pass, that the trustee should thus dispose of my effects, when he knew, that I had made my will, and had made him, the Portuguese captain, my universal heir, and see, he told me that was true, but that as there was no proof of my being dead, he could not act as executor until some certain account should come of my death, and, besides, he was not willing to intermeddle with a thing so remote. That it was true he had registered my will, and put in his claim, and could he have given any account of my being dead or alive, he would have acted by procuration, and taken possession of the Engenho, so they call the sugar house, and have given his son, who was now at the Brazils, orders to do it. But, says the old man, I have one piece of news to tell you, which perhaps may not be so acceptable to you as the rest, and that is, believing you were lost, and all the world believing so also, your partner and trustees did offer to account with me, in your name, for the first 6 or 8 years' profits, which I received. There being at that time great disbursements for increasing the works, building an Engenho, and buying slaves, it did not amount to near so much as afterwards it produced. However, says the old man, I shall give you a true account of what I have received in all, and how I have disposed of it. After a few days' further conference with this ancient friend, he brought me an account of the first 6 years' income of my plantation, signed by my partner and the merchant trustees, being always delivered in goods, viz. Tobacco in roll, and sugar in chests, besides rum, molasses, and sea, which is the consequence of a sugar work, and I found by this account that every year the income considerably increased. But, as above, the disbursements being large, the sum at first was small. However, the old man let me see that he was debtor to me 470 moidores of gold, besides 60 chests of sugar and 15 double rolls of tobacco, which were lost in his ship, he having been shipwrecked coming home to Lisbon, about 11 years after my having the place. The good man then began to complain of his misfortunes, and how he had been obliged to make use of my money to recover his losses, and buy him a share in a new ship. However, my old friend, says he, you shall not want a supply in your necessity, and as soon as my son returns you shall be fully satisfied. Upon this he pulls out an old pouch, and gives me 160 Portugal moidores in gold, and giving the writings of his title to the ship, which his son was gone to the Brazils in, of which he was quarter part owner, and his son another, he puts them both into my hands for security of the rest. I was too much moved with the honesty and kindness of the poor man to be able to bear this, and remembering what he had done for me, how he had taken me up at sea, and how generously he had used me on all occasions, and particularly how sincere a friend he was now to me, I could hardly refrain weeping at what he had said to me. Therefore I asked him, if his circumstances admitted him to spare so much money at that time, and if it would not straighten him? He told me he could not say, but it might straighten him a little. But, however, it was my money, and I might want it more than he. Everything the good man said was full of affection, and I could hardly refrain from tears while he spoke. In short, I took 100 of the moidores, and called for a pen and ink to give him a receipt for them. Then I returned him the rest, and told him, if ever I had possession of the plantation I would return the other to him also, as, indeed, I afterwards did, and that as to the bill of sale of his part in his son's ship, I would not take it by any means, but that if I wanted the money, I found he was honest enough to pay me. And if I did not, but came to receive what he gave me reason to expect, I would never have a penny more from him. When this was past, the old man asked me, if he should put me into a method, to make my claim to my plantation. I told him I thought to go over to it myself. He said I might do so if I pleased, but that if I did not, there were ways enough to secure my right, and immediately to appropriate the profits to my use. And as there were ships in the river of Lisbon just ready to go away to Brazil, he made me enter my name in a public register, with his affidavit, affirming, upon oath, that I was alive, and that I was the same person who took up the land for the planting the said plantation at first. This being regularly attested by a notary, and a procuration affixed, he directed me to send it, with a letter of his writing, to a merchant of his acquaintance at the place, and then proposed my staying with him till an account came of the return. Never was anything more honorable than the proceedings upon this procuration, for in less than 7 months I received a large packet from the survivors of my trustees, the merchants, for whose account I went to sea, in which were the following particular letters and papers enclosed. First, there was the account current of the produce of my farmer plantation, from the year when their fathers had balanced with my old Portugal captain, being for 6 years. The balance appeared to be 1,174 moidores in my favor. Secondly, there was the account of 4 years more, while they kept the effects in their hands, before the government claimed the administration, as being the effects of a person not to be found, which they called civil death, and the balance of this, the value of the plantation increasing, amounted to 19,446 cruzados, being about 3,240 moidores. Thirdly, there was the prior of St. Augustine's account, who had received the prophets for above 14 years, but not being able to account for what was disposed of by the hospital, very honestly declared he had 872 mitres not distributed, which he acknowledged to my account. As to the king's part, that refunded nothing. There was a letter of my partner's, congratulating me very affectionately upon my being alive, giving me an account how the estate was improved, and what it produced a year, with the particulars of the number of squares or acres that it contained, how planted, how many slaves there were upon it, and making 22 crosses for blessings, told me he had said so many Ave Marias to thank the Blessed Virgin that I was alive, inviting me very passionately to come over and take possession of my own, and in the meantime, to give him orders to whom he should deliver my effects, if I did not come myself, concluding with a hearty tender of his friendship, and that of his family, and sent me as a present 7 fine leopard skins, which he had, it seems, received from Africa, by some other ship that he had sent thither, and which, it seems, had made a better voyage than one. He sent me also 5 chests of excellent sweetmeats, and 100 pieces of gold uncoined, not quite so large as mitres. By the same fleet my 2 merchant trustees shipped me 1,200 chests of sugar, 800 rolls of tobacco, and the rest of the whole account in gold. I might well say now, indeed, that the latter end of job was better than the beginning. It is impossible to express the flutterings of my very heart when I found all my wealth about me, for as the Brazil ships come all in fleets, the same ships which brought my letters brought my goods, and the effects were safe in the river before the letters came to my hand. In a word, I turned pale and grew sick, and, had not the old man run and fetched me a cordial, I believe the sudden surprise of joy had overset nature, and I had died upon the spot. Nay, after that I continued very ill, and was so some hours, till a physician being sent for, and something of the real cause of my illness being known, he ordered me to be let blood, after which I had relief, and grew well. But I verify believe, if I had not been eased by a vent given in that manner to the spirits, I should have died. I was now master, all on a sudden, of above £5,000 in money, and had an estate, as I might well call it, in the Brazils, of above £1,000 a year, as sure as an estate of lands in England. And, in a word, I was in a condition which I scarce knew how to understand, or how to compose myself for the enjoyment of it. The first thing I did was to recompense my original benefactor, my good old captain, who had been first charitable to me in my distress, kind to me in my beginning, and honest to me at the end. I showed him all that was sent to me. I told him that, next to the providence of heaven, which disposed all things, it was owing to him, and that it now lay on me to reward him, which I would do 100-fold. So I first returned to him 100 mitres I had received of him, then I sent for a notary, and caused him to draw up a general release or discharge from the 470 mitres, which he had acknowledged he owed me, in the fullest and firmest manner possible. After which I caused a procuration to be drawn, empowering him to be the receiver of the annual profits of my plantation, and appointing my partner to account with him, and make the returns, by the usual fleets, to him in my name, and by a clause in the end, made a grant of 100 mitres a year to him during his life, out of the effects, and 50 mitres a year to his son after him, for his life. And thus I requited my old man. I had now to consider which way to steer my course next, and what to do with the estate that Providence had thus put into my hands, and, indeed, I had more care upon my head now than I had in my state of life in the island, where I wanted nothing but what I had, and had nothing but what I wanted, whereas I had now a great charge upon me, and my business was how to secure it. I had not a cave now to hide my money in, or a place where it might lie without lock. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.